Heidi Stevens is here with us today, and we invited her up because, honestly, as I told you off the air, your column in the Chicago Tribune, I think I've loved each and every one you've written.
Thank you.
Can totally relate. A lot of kids stuff, a lot of parent stuff, a lot of being good people stuff. And we thought we would have you on because you are going to be at the big Lit Fest that's going on.
I am. I'm super excited. It's my favorite festival of the summer, and that's saying something in Chicago because we have a lot of them.
Absolutely.
A lot of good ones. But no, I love Lit Fest. And this year I get to interview David Levithan, who's winning the Tribune's Young Adult Literary Award.
You don't seem sure of that.
I don't know if it's literary or literacy.
It's Young Adult Literary Prize.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. They mean the same thing, basically, right?
Right.
It's an award.
Yeah.
Bruce Dold hands it to him. I interview him on stage. He is this fantastic YA author.
Young adult.
Yeah, YA is for young adult. Novelist. He's written a ton of books. He's collaborated with John Green, who everybody knows. He's mostly credited with creating, like, fully human, interesting gay characters in YA, which isn't super common.
Mm-hmm.
And his books kind of slip in, gay characters without it even being necessarily a real big deal.
Which is
the way you do
kids
with straight characters.
Yeah, right.
And we have talked about this numerous times. Like, our kids, yours are 20, I have 18 and 14. That's how gay people just slip in. They slip in. It's
right.
Not a big notice. It's
right.
Just, it's a different time.
It's not anything you make a big deal
no.
of. Yeah, I read a survey once that said for millennials, the question shouldn't be, do you approve or disapprove of gay marriage? The question should be, why are you asking?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
why
that.
Would
That's
I?
Great.
What
right.
is there to disapprove of?
Right.
Right? And so his books feel very of the moment and modern and, you know, along those lines.
Do you remember a time, though, if somebody was telling a story, and this wasn't that long ago, maybe a generation ago, they'd tell a story and they go, and a guy comes up, a black guy, a guy comes up, a Chinese guy,
uh-huh.
and they would just throw that in,
yep.
and that seems to be, like, gone. Like, you don't need that extra element of color or race or sexual awareness. It's just part of the story.
Going
know?
Away, hopefully.
Yeah.
I think we still do it with women or female more than we do.
I still do it. Like, I'll say that blonde girl, or I'll try and give a description as I'm talking about someone.
Well, I mean, even more than appearance, like, often I'll be reading, even in the Tribune, female police officer, where I'm like, I'll reread the sentence a couple times, I'll think, I wonder why we needed female
yeah.
there, you know? Or, like, the
That's
female
true.
Driver. It's like, well, why did we have to say female? Because
they're better drivers.
You wouldn't say the male driver
right.
or the male police officer. So we do it in weird ways.
Right.
Just unconscious, probably.
Except here's where it does come in useful almost. The other day, Sofia Coppola won an award for directing a film at the Cannes Film Festival. It's only the second time a woman has won. And they made mention of that. And I thought to myself, at first I was like, oh, don't even mention that she's a woman. That's not important. But then the more I thought about it, I go, no, it is. Because in all the years they've been doing this, more women should have won.
Right.
So,
in that context, for
sure.
Yeah. Especially when there's a conversation going, for a couple of years now about, the need for more female directors.
Right.
And more female producers, female
right.
voices, and
Was
it Wonder Woman that Dean Richards was just saying this is a woman who did it and it's her first major film?
Right.
Yeah. They
so that needs to be mentioned.
It should be. Right.
I agree.
Yeah. All right.
Someday it'll be, we'll just say, a director.
Right.
We're not there yet.
Right.
Not quite.
But that happened with Barack Obama being president. People go, at some point there'll be a day where we don't have to mention the fact that he's the first black president.
Right.
Or when Hillary Clinton was running and almost won.
What do we say about Donald Trump? The first what?
Orange
president, right.
Covfefe.
Orange is the new president.
All right, getting back to young adult novels. I'm trying to think back. There weren't a lot of them when I was growing up. Of course, there was Judy Blume.
Right.
There, God, It's Me, Margaret.
Yep.
Every girl
queen.
Read that.
She's the queen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But there weren't a lot of choices when we were young adults.
Right. I agree. And I think there's a better recognition and understanding now that kids deserve their own stories, their own conversations, their own food for thought, and not just little kids and then sort of this vast wasteland until they're adults, right? Like, children's literature has always been pretty
a
rich
lot of
and
it.
Robust.
Oh, sure.
And
the hungry caterpillar.
Yeah,
starting right from there. Yes,
make way for ducklings. You know, for decades.
I just finished Good Night Moon.
Did you?
A week ago.
You're
great
a
ending.
Slow reader.
I'm a slow reader.
Is that your book club?
Yeah.
You read Good Night Moon?
Oh my God, that is a great. That's a great idea. Is anybody doing a kids' book club where the moms get together in the neighborhood and meet each other like a welcome wagon thing and read these books to their kids?
That's a great idea.
You
My daughter's in a book club that she started in fourth grade,
she started her own.
But yeah, she and her friends did.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if she gets all the credit, but she and her friends started it. But yeah, little kid book club is a good idea, especially if it helps your parents.
If you're new to a neighborhood,
Yeah, totally.
We got to get on that.
Yeah.
You can host it, though. I don't have time.
So with YA, with young adult novels, what's the start and finish in terms of target audience? Who are they targeting?
They often say middle reader. That's kind of synonymous with YA. So middle reader, middle school, you know, like middle school in Chicago Public Schools starts in fifth grade.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, fifth through eighth, something like that. You know, you have to know your kid and your kid has to know him or herself. Like this one of David Levithan's books that I just finished, which I loved, was called Every Day. The premise is this character named A wakes up every morning in a different 16-year-old's body.
Oh.
So one day, A is a gorgeous African-American girl. Another day, A is a sheltered homeschooled kid named George. Like, so, and only for a day. And so all of the emotions and experiences and everything of a 16-year-old happen, but like with gender and appearance totally stripped away because he or she looks totally different.
Right,
it's
right,
like day to day.
Honestly, walking in someone else's shoes.
Totally
where you can
walking
get a
in
feel
shoes.
For that.
It's a really, really cool story. And I want my daughter to read it, and she's 11. There's a couple sex scenes that I don't think are like, oh gosh, I'm not ready for her to know that. I just don't think she would get it.
Oh.
You know, I think it would be like over her head in a
How
confusing
she?
Way. She's 11, fifth grade. So, like, to my point about middle reader, she's technically a middle schooler.
Yeah.
Not quite.
I don't know if she's ready for that yet. Maybe in seventh.
Yeah.
Now, I have a 16-year-old stepson. I think it would be great for him to read.
Yeah.
He might feel like it's a little young. But,
right.
You know, I'm 42 and I loved it.
Yeah.
I want to read it and I want my 14-year-old to read it. What's it?
It's called Every Day.
Every Day.
It's fantastic. It's a love story.
Do they ever explain why the premise is that this A person is in a different body every day, or is that just understood?
A has it's you know first person, and A has no idea how this happened. It's the only way life has ever happened for this character since birth.
Right.
So there's not like a moment where you know he gets struck by lightning, or you know there's not a
and it's ongoing. It's still it's forever.
Yep.
Wow. That would be cool. But what would suck is like, what if like on day five, you were, this is the best. I don't want to go anywhere else.
Right.
How do you break that curse? And is it a curse?
And the plot thickens when A is this boy, Justin, who's kind of a defensive, kind of self-involved guy with this sweet girlfriend. And A starts to fall in love with the girlfriend.
Oh.
And then can't just
that's a great
ever be with her because, you know.
Wasn't there, remember the show Sliders with Jerry O'Connell?
Yes.
That was a similar premise that in every week's episode, he was inhabiting a different person's body.
Yeah,
he always looked the same. But,
yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I never saw it. Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Jerry O'Connell? What the heck happened to that guy?
Yeah, he's still working. He's still doing stuff. He was almost the co-host on Kelly Ripa's show.
Oh.
He ended up not getting it.
But of course, Seacrest gets it.
Ryan Seacrest steals everything.
Needed his 47th job.
Right.
I bet A is going to be Ryan Seacrest in this book every day.
I would buy that book.
All right, so the young adult market, like I said, when we were growing up, there weren't a lot of books to choose from. Really, Judy Blume is really the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, what about, I'm trying to think for boys, like The Outsiders?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's the only one. That author.
So will schools ever change what they have kids read now that there are more young adult novels available? I do believe that they should make the kids read the classics because telling you, if I didn't have to read them in school, I don't know that I ever would have read some of them.
I hope so. I hope, because I do think that the love of reading has to come first, and I don't know if you fall in love with reading by reading the classics. I mean, I think
no, it's a big weight over your head.
It's kind of a big weight, and it's important, like you say, and it's like your spinach. You need it, but I don't know if it teaches you how to totally get lost in a story and just relate to a character, or be like, you can't wait to open it up and find out what the character says or does next, and like that. That level of love and excitement about reading, I don't know if that comes from Charles Dickens when you're 15. I'm not. I think if you get kids to fall in love with Wonder or even the Hunger Games, or like you and I were talking about Captain Underpants early, then I feel like by the time they tackle the classics, I don't know, it's almost like something you acquire a taste for, right?
Right.
You're better able to understand foreshadowing and metaphor and all the things that you're supposed to
sure.
academically get out of reading. But if you didn't fall in love with it first, I don't know if you have as big of a chance of, you know, becoming a lifelong reader who turns to books for comfort, for empathy, for, you know, learning how to walk in someone else's shoes.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I have a senior graduating from high school on Sunday, and he didn't get a great grade in English because there were a couple of books that he didn't have time to read, yet he wants to read them.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if starting younger, maybe you do read the classics, but not maybe five a semester. Maybe
right.
you get a young adult one to get you to whet your appetite for a good book. Because
yeah.
there's nothing like getting a book that you just... You almost don't want it to end
right.
because you're loving it so
yeah.
much.
I agree. And I think it shapes the way you go through the world and treat other people, too. I mean, that's the best thing about fiction, right? Is that you get to try on somebody else's
oh, yeah.
identity for a little while. You
yeah.
get to see what it would feel like to walk around as...
I remember
someone else.
We had to read Moby Dick in sixth grade, and one of the kids
oh my
saying,
gosh.
Nobody talks like this.
Yeah.
People don't talk like this.
Right.
He didn't understand. It had been written a couple of years prior, so yeah, the language has changed a little bit. But
yeah.
doesn't it depend on the reader or the kid? There are some kids that are ready for novels, full-blown novels, when they're in, you know, third, fourth, or fifth grade.
That should be the extra
yeah.
credit ones, though.
Oh, right. maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, feel free to read them. We'll give you extra credit.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
And do they make cliff notes for the young adult books? Because, man, those saved me through a lot of those
yeah.
classics.
Yeah. That's how I did Beowulf, I think.
I know, me too.
Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
And
that was actually a really good book, but I enjoyed it later. When someone says you have to read this and you have to read this in a certain amount of time, that takes all the pleasure out of reading for me.
Yeah, I just feel like the ages are off. I mean, I feel like those books have so much to offer once you're ready.
Like college,
to receive
maybe.
It. But yeah, I just feel like, man, at 14 and 15, I didn't know what in the world.
No.
If you have a fantastic teacher who's going to sit down and really work through it with you, that's a totally
yeah.
different story.
Yeah.
But how many of us did
yeah.
or do?
I didn't.
Yeah, it's the
I
luck
mean,
of the draw.
It really is.
Teaching those classes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You need to have the lively discussions afterwards, not just read this and then you're going to be quizzed on pages 1 through 500
right.
tomorrow.
Right. To
so
make
get
sure
reading.
You read it.
Yeah.
yeah. No, you need like Oprah Book Club level discussions in high schools. How cool would that be?
When I was in... I guess I would have been in fourth grade, third or fourth grade. One of my aunts gave my brother and I this treasury of books. It was 40 classics all together in a boxed set, paperback versions of some of the best books of all time. And at the time, we both agreed this was the worst Christmas
yeah.
present you could possibly give two kids.
What did we do wrong?
What were you
this
thinking?
Is like
that's fourth grade, you thought
in
that
fourth
about.
Fourth grade.
Yeah.
But as life went on and I read, I think I read almost all 40 of the books, I used to thank her and
yeah.
just say, this was, it ended up being the greatest gift you ever gave us. So thank
yeah.
you so much.
That's great.
But boy, that moment as we unwrapped it and go, is there another present under
right.
the tree? Because this
yeah,
is not going to cut it.
Being punked.
Yeah. And Silas Marner. What? Are you kidding?
Do you remember what your favorite one of the 40 was?
Probably Tom Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's
probably.
A great book.
Yeah.
We have one of, we have a really old version of it that when one of my sons was reading it, my sister had found it in our attic or something and gave it to him. And it's just a really old first pressing, one
yeah.
of, not the very first or anything, but that's a classic book. And I really enjoyed 1984 when we were in high school because it's like, oh my God, 1984 is so far away.
Right, yeah.
And it's just so weird that it's 2017 now.
Although the Big Brother aspect did come true.
Yes.
Right.
So Orwell was very close on that.
Yeah.
So that was a good read, in my opinion.
Well, anything, I feel like when you're a teenager, anything that has kind of even the whiff of like anti-authority feels really cool.
Yeah.
Right? You feel kind of understood, and you feel like you're getting away with something.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Have you done, you've done these Printers Row Lit Fests in the past, right?
I have, yeah.
So how do they pair you off? Like, how do they decide who you're going to interview? What's the criteria for that?
You know, I'm not sure. I, I've been lucky. I usually get a big person. I got R.L. Stine last year. I got Marlo
Goosebumps.
Thomas. Yeah, Goosebumps. Yeah. Yep. I got Marlo Thomas 1 year.
Wow.
Actually, we're talking about Judy Blume. I got to interview Judy Blume at, that was actually, Humanities Fest, but it was also in June. So I think if the topic that they write about lines up with the topic that I write about,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a natural fit. Yeah. So like Michael, you know, my husband, the film critic, is, interviewing an author who, has a new book out about Vietnam. He also wrote Black Hawk Down.
Oh.
You know, that's sort of a natural pairing. Pair a movie guy with a guy who wrote a movie.
Yeah.
So I think they try to line you up with your, you know, the topic that you write about
that
the
most. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What do you have coming up in some of your columns? Because I love every one of them. Don't wreck that streak.
Oh, well, I'll try. The pressure's on. I'm trying to think. Oh, well, yesterday, this was fun. No, yesterday was the David Levithan one. Monday, I wrote about a sixth grader from right here in Chicago who's at the National Spelling Bee. Do you guys ever watch the Spelling Bee? It's on ESPN, right?
Spelling Bee?
Yeah. So she won the citywide Spelling Bee by spelling toxicosis.
Yeah.
Which my spell check didn't even recognize, so I knew to be impressed. And then she went to D.C. So she happens to go to my kid's school.
Oh, nice.
And the coolest part about this, other than the fact that, hello, she's at this National Spelling Bee as a sixth grader.
A lot of support she got by the school, huh?
The support. I loved it. We got an email at home from the principal saying, okay, no uniforms on Friday. We've declared it Day of Rhea. Her name's Rhea, R-I-Y-A. Dress in yellow and black to look like a bee. The kids decorated the entire school in yellow and black construction paper rings.
Yeah.
They filled the gym with yellow and black balloons. They had an all-school assembly. They sat there and sang. They changed the words to Can't Stop the Feeling, the Justin Timberlake song, to Can't Stop the Spelling. The idea to me of like having this child feel that surrounded by pride and community and support was just so moving to me. And to think about my kids and all these kids doing that for another kid, you know, who accomplished something and something that, you know, it's spelling. It's not something we universally celebrate the way we do football or
But don't you think it translates to other kids that if you do something exceptional, it's not like a participation trophy. If you do something that exceptional, it's going to get recognized.
Yep.
That's great.
And
for
it
kids.
Should not only be athletics that get recognized.
Yeah.
That's what was really cool about this.
It was
this.
A great lesson in 100 ways. So I just loved that the school did that. I loved that this girl felt, you know, totally supported for a day. I want that for every kid. And then, you know, really, regardless of how she does in D.C., like, that day is with her forever.
Right.
You know, I have to imagine that that day at school is as big of a deal as the day you're up on stage in D.C., right?
Yep.
You get 900 kids or whatever, you know, singing to you in a gym. And
you know someday she's going to tell her kids about this one day when I was competing in the spelling bee. Let me tell you what the kids at school did for me. That's
so going
to stick with her forever.
Yeah.
But Heidi, I heard she sent the school a thank you card and misspelled thank you. That's kind of a sad.
What, she made it one word?
Yeah, that's sad. That she.
That
well,
is
that's
a little
all
sad.
Right.
Can she spell coverage, I think, is the real question. Is that what he was trying to spell?
I think so.
Is there a consensus? Yeah.
I don't know what he was trying to spell, but I forgot the word now.
Kofefe.
Yeah. Somebody on Facebook said maybe he was trying to spell kerfuffle.
Oh.
That was like the best theory I've heard yet.
Maybe.
If somebody does not have a band named Kofefe, will you please start one right now?
He deserves it.
Thank you for coming up. You can read Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune, paper version or online. You do a great job. And when and where are you going to be at the Printers Row Lit Fest?
Saturday, June 10th. And it's at 11:30 in the Jones Auditorium.
Okay.
Jones College Prep
South Auditorium.
South Auditorium.
Printers Row litfest.org if you'd like to find the whole schedule. Heidi Stevens, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Bye, Heidi.
Good
Thanks.
To be here.
A quick break, and then we'll check in with Judy and find out what's going on in the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.